Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Fans, the NBA playoffs are on their way. But before they begin, it's the NBA play-in tournament.
Winner advances, the loser goes home.
Four teams vying for the last two spots in each conference.
Curry, bang!
Some teams will get in.
Do or die.
Others, they're coming up short.
Forget about X's and O's. Who wants it more?
It's now or never. The playoffs are calling. But first, you gotta win to get in.
Shoot!
The NBA play-in tournament begins April 11th on ESPN and TNT.
Hey guys, welcome back to Leading Edge Cricket. Today we are putting on our selection cap and we are going to break down what our 17 men squad are going to look like for the New Zealand Tour of England that is coming right up. I'm Rob, this is Rich, welcome to the podcast.
Hey Rob, how's it going?
We are good. I'm excited about this. Everyone has always got a voice around what they want to do with this England team, the opener role, who bats it, who's carrying the drinks for the summer. And today, we're going to get a platform to give our two pennies into the conversation.
Too right. The put up or show up, isn't it? We keep saying about, whoa, there's a player to watch. There's another player to watch. Keep an eye on this one. We can't pick them all. We can't have them all in the squad, can we? So we've got to narrow it down. We've got to put our marker down and say, this is who we think should be in this squad upcoming. So it's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. I don't know about you. I actually found it quite hard to break it down, even though it's an expanded 17-man squad like you're going to get into. I found it hard to just pick 17 guys. I had a squad of 20 and I was really struggling on the trimming stakes.
Yeah, absolutely. That 17 as well, we'll quickly explain. There's not always a 17-man squad. We don't expect after this to be 17 men in a squad for a home series, especially not a two test match series. What's the point? But apparently, due to COVID, bubble restrictions, etc., that it's expected that the ECB could select a squad of up to 17 players for this two test match series. So we're going to make it a little bit easier on ourselves and let's say 17 for argument's sake. For Chris Silverwood as well, if it is up to that number, he can dodge some tough questions. That's a good first selection, isn't it, for him?
Works out
Ed Smith's
good,
gone. It does, doesn't it? He can maybe give some opportunities to some of the early standouts, also give some chances to players that maybe haven't performed as well as they would have hoped to. But yeah, we shall see how it goes. But 17 is the number. That's what we're going to hit today. Fire away, Rob.
Let's roll into it. So the way we're going to go through this is we're going to reveal who the batsmen are in our 17-man squad. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to go into wicketkeeper or round the slot spinners, seamers. And then once we've got our 17-man squad each, we're going to break down what the starting 11 is going to look like for that first test against the all-singing, all-dancing Black Caps team, which is pretty damn hot. Beat India 3-0 at home. Just dropping bombs wearing my Auckland Aces top.
Just playing both sides, aren't you? So just quickly as well, Ben Stokes. We're absolutely certain he's not going to be about. He was expected to be about out for about 3 months initially, but he said this week that it could be close to 7, 8, maybe even 9 weeks. So great news for Stokes in England. I personally, before we get into it as well, I'm going to say that the ECB is instructing those returning IPL players, the likes of Chris Wokes, Sam Curran, Josh Butler, feet up, lads. Just go and rest.
Okay.
But if Chris Wokes wants to play, he'll probably play. They'll chuck him in, won't they? But We shall see how it goes, but definitely want to give them a go, give them a rest even. But for me, yeah, I'm going to go with Strauss, Cook, Peterson and Bell. What year is it? if only. So now I'll get us underway then, Rob. Joe Root, captain. Is that one of them?
Agreed.
Yeah, all right. Okay, these are my batsmen. Joe Root, I'm going Rory Burns. He retains his spot. Bit of a slow, steady start to this year, but he's just done enough. Zach Crawley. James Bracey. He's been batting at 3 for Gloucestershire. Also a bit of depth for the wicket keeping. I like that one. Ollie Pope, obviously. Dan Lawrence. Matt Critchley, Derbyshire. And then this is where I'm getting splinters in my backside. I haven't quite decided on the final batsman of my 17-man squad. I want another opener in this squad. People are thinking, where's Dom Sibley? Well, he's not with me, all right? He's going to get fit next week. Not this week, but next week. He's back from his broken finger and he's playing again for Warwickshire. But for me in this squad, I'm taking another opener, just in case Crawley or Burns, any question marks. And I'm going one of Haseeb Hameed or Alex Lees of Durham. Haven't decided
that,
yet.
That, to me, announcing a 17-man squad is so firmly fixed on the fence about that last position. I'm gonna
nail it down because neither will start, because Burns and Crawley, without getting too far ahead, Burns and Crawley will open the batting in my first 11 for the first test. But I want an extra opener. And looking for that opener, I'm finding it really difficult. There's older guys that haven't done it before. And obviously every second opener has had a cap for England at some point, haven't they?
Yeah.
And the younger fellas haven't quite done it. But there's two lads in the middle there. One's done it a few games and the other one hasn't had a chance. And he's been very, very, you know, highly rated for a number of years. So one of those, I will pick one at some point.
Okay.
Give me a minute, all right? I want them both.
Yeah, you do want them both. And I see what you're doing. You're hedging your bets over a 2-test match series and chopping and changing. You're changing your bubble. You're creating undue risk, Rich.
Only one of them is joining the bubble, all right?
Right, so I'm taking a bit of a different stance here. Okay. Dominic Sibley is in my squad.
Oh, it was the 29 he got, wasn't it, in the first game? The 29, it was a really convincing. And the naught not out in the same game. I can see, you know, he could have scored 200 that day.
He was unlucky. He's made it. Zach Crawley's in the squad.
Yep.
Root's in the squad. Ollie Pope's in the squad.
Yep.
Burns.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final batter in the squad, Hassan Azad of Leicestershire.
Okay. Big call. Is it 2019 or 2020 or the more recent Hassan Azad?
Big last 3 years. Most balls faced in county cricket for the last 3 years. 1,781 runs at an average of 45. 5 centuries. Represented Pakistan under 15s before he moved across to the UK. 309 runs with a century this year. He's a good player. He's 27 years old. The thing that's making me lean towards this is he's a guy that scored runs the last 2 years. He's scoring runs this year, and there's no Division 1, Division 2 weight of runs. All runs are pretty much even unless you're playing for Worcestershire on Waitrose car park as a wicket. So that's why he's in. I feel like over a period of time, he deserves that call.
Okay, I like it. And I like it a lot. At the start of this summer, he was one I was really, really hoping would just score a shed load of runs and go and just make it impossible for selectors to overlook him. He's not the youngest of fellas, but he's still got plenty of time on his side. He's not, for example, an Adam Live. And I'm really pleased he didn't mention Adam Live. Nothing personal for him, but he's 33 years old now, isn't he? Adam Live. I think he's just worth mentioning. He's done really well this year. 538 runs at 67 average. 65.60 strike rate as well. But he's 33, and I just don't see the point in going back to that when we have these younger players. I've mentioned Haseeb Hameed. I've mentioned Alex Lees. You've mentioned Hassan Azad. That's three potential younger openers that could do a job. Yeah, Azad, that's a really good shout, Robbie. Like I say, he's not quite scored the same amount of runs as my two boys. Just rolling on to it, Hameed has got an average of 56 this year, as opposed to Hassan Azad's 38, and he scored 450 runs, including 2 centuries and a 90-odd. Yeah. And Alex Lees, almost identical, 58 average, 408 runs, so a little bit less, an average, with 103 50s. And that was a 99 today as well, wasn't it?
Very useful players, mate. Are there any batters that you've kind of, when you're coming up with your 17-man squad, that you've put on the scrap heap that you're like, nah, they're good and proper? So I've got a few. I've got Keaton Jennings is a no-go, falling under the Adam Lyth category. He's only averaged 32 in first-class cricket for the last 3 years, so he's not.
Definitely not.
Jason Roy, I've put a pin in.
Done.
I think Jason Roy was a little bit unlucky to play one series, Ashes, against the best bowling attack in the world, pretty much.
Yeah. And I don't think he was true to himself as well. I don't think he played his natural game.
No,
I know the ball was swinging around. It wasn't as straightforward as kind of it might sound that I'm being, but he didn't play the way he can play.
Yeah, totally agree. I'm going to put Joe Denley on the heap as well. For me, Denley's...
Yeah.
He's playing so much different cricket. Like, he's playing white ball cricket around the world now. He's just not quite good enough, and there's not a long enough piece of tail at the end to go, he's got another 6 years to develop.
It's the age again, isn't it? 100%. Yeah. It's just worth noting as well, it did get announced yesterday that he's actually going to take a little bit of a break from the game. I'm not sure if it's just for the next game or so, but he is just stepping away for a little bit, just for personal reasons. So we don't know what's going on with him. It might be family related. It might be just sick and tired of being in bubbles and whatnot. Yeah. So he's just going to take 5 minutes. Yeah, so, you know, that makes sense that you wouldn't be looking back for Joe Denley as well. Yeah, I assume on that list as well, you've also added the likes of Gary Balance and Sam Robson and
Mark Stoneman.
Yeah,
I think the biggest one, Rich, to be honest, on the scrap heap, and I don't know if you agree with me here, and I wanted him to be a test player for so long, but the last 3 years, he scored 904 runs for England at an average of 22. And an average of 21 at home, zero centuries, Johnny Bairstow. Done as a red ball England cricketer for me.
It's a tough one, isn't it, Johnny Bairstow? I don't see him as a batsman. I know this might sound... In one-day cricket, he is 100% a batsman. But for England...
One of the best one-day players in the world.
Absolutely. Opener number three, whatever you want to bat him at in white ball. But in test match cricket, bear in mind he's 31 now. He's not a young up-and-coming pup. I still think of Johnny Bairstow as being younger than, for example, Ben Folkes. But Ben Folkes is 28, 3 years younger. But coming back to Bairstow, 74 appearances for England. He's averaging 34, which is not bad when you consider some of the pretty ordinary averages. You know, we talk about Burns and Sibley. They're both averaging about 30. So it is better than that. As a batsman, he only averages 27.18 in 46 innings. But as a wicketkeeper, or in those wicketkeeper 6-7 slots, so I assume he was wicketkeeper, he's averaging 37.85. So I wouldn't close the door on Bairstow as a keeper, but I would as a batsman.
Nicely done. Nicely done. And there's two notable admissions from the squad that I kind of want to call out on good performance. One, Jake Libby.
Yep.
If Jake Libby had done more last year, then I would have really, really kind of pushed for him to be in the team. But I feel he's playing so good this year. I want to see him go and play so good away from his home ground as well. I want to see a big ton away, and then you're kind of like, cool, he's there. And the man that you've picked in your squad, Leeds, as well, based on weight of runs. He's done it consistently over several years now, Leeds. He's a very, very good player. The thing that I called out, I think when we was doing the county championship preview, was he had a horrendous amount of ducks. So it was either an all or nothing. Not an all or nothing merchant, but there was so many. There was 8 ducks over 3 seasons, including this year, which is by far the highest out of any of the openers around. And that's a little bit of a worry when you've got a bowling attack as strong as Southee, Bolt and Wagner and Jameson coming down at you. That worries me.
Yeah, that's a fair shout. It's sometimes you get those players, though, that when they take that step up, they become better players. You know, we saw it over the years, Triscothic. I don't like mentioning the guy's name anymore because he's turned into a bit of a something I can't say, but Michael Vaughan. You know, those sort of players, they improved as they become internationals, didn't they? Yeah. So maybe there's one of those. Maybe there's a Hasib Hamid who's going to kick on. He averaged 43 in his 3 games for England. I can't remember if I said that. I'm going to just keep saying that. Put it on a T-shirt. Like this one. You know, Alex Leeds might be that guy that kicks on and suddenly averages 45 and he's only averaging 38 in first class or whatever his average might be. Or a Jake Lewis or somebody else steps up and starts averaging 10 more than their first-class average. So you never know, do you, really, in that case? But the opposite can happen as well. Burns was absolutely have to select him after 5 years of stacks and stacks of runs, 1,000 runs every season. And he's averaging 30 for England. Yep. Dom Sibley was the same. Stacks of runs over 2 or 3 years. You just find that balance, isn't it? It's not just about the runs they've scored. It's about the temperament. It's about the character. It's about the technique as well, isn't it? Can they go and replicate it on the best stage against the best bowlers, the quickest bowlers, you know, the bowlers that do the most with the ball? Yeah. It's such a difficult job selection. We're making it look easy, I'm sure. But yeah, Chris Silverwood's suddenly going to be, you know, he's going to be relying on James Taylor and all that those 12 or so county scouts to help him out with this one. But at least he's got the numbers to pick from this time.
He's got plenty, mate. So from a keeper aspect, who have
I think you've got to go Ben Foulkes. You know, over the winter or last year, over the last one of the best keepers in the world, best gloveman in the world. I don't think you can look past him. He deserves his opportunity. He deserves to make his first test appearance at home. He's only played abroad, hasn't he? Like I said, Johnny Bairstow for me at the moment, he's playing in the IPL as well. I think there's too many reasons to just, you know, to just say, look, no at the moment. Yeah. Keep him to one side, but that's not closing the door, like I said, as him as a wicketkeeper batsman, batting six or seven. Ben Foulkes has to play. James Bracey is in my squad as a wicketkeeper as well. He keeps wicket Gloucester, but he's banned at three. And if he plays in a test and bats at that number three, which is a glaring hole at the moment in the 11, I'm sure you'll agree, Rob, then I wouldn't want him keeping wickets. So certainly not on debut.
Okay, that's fair enough. So I've gone slightly different here. I've gone Josh Butler in the squad.
He doesn't need a break. He's like, get me in.
Doesn't need a break. Not played much IPL. IPL. I feel the India series coming up is big and he's going to need some Red Bull cricket. So what I've gone for is two wicket keepers in my squad of 17, thinking that this 17-man squad isn't going to change across the two test matches against New Zealand. However, starting 11 may change. So I've gone Josh Butler and I've gone Ben Foulkes in there. I've got Ollie Pope in the team as a batsman only. I don't care. He can keep wicket a bit.
No, not interested.
Just go and bat, son. And I think Josh Butler, for the amount of times I've given him a bit of stick about being just a white ball guy and that's how you get into the England test team, he's actually been pretty decent since he's come back into the England lineup. 1,944 runs, the third most amount in the last three seasons at an average of 36, but he averages 40 at home in English conditions with his two only centuries. So that's why he's in there. And Foulkes, the thing that gets me about Foulkes is, for whatever reason, since he scored those runs in Sri Lanka, he's just pigeonholed as a keeper that will take overseas because he plays spin all right. And I don't feel like he's been given his credit. He's not even played a test match at home. So I feel he needs an opportunity to go and play a test match at home, English conditions, being probably the best gloveman in the country.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. He is the best gloveman in the country, at least. He also bats in the top five, doesn't he, for Surrey? He's not batting at eight or nine or whatever, you know, old days of, you know, Mark Boucher when he first played for South Africa sort of batting positions. It's what he's batting. Josh Butler, absolutely. If he's fit and if he's available, he's obviously in this squad.
Yeah.
Who misses out? I don't know. Maybe it is Ben Foulkes. Maybe it is Bracey doesn't make the team. Looking at Josh Butler, if he is in the squad team or when he is next to the team, his stats are crazy. When you actually look at where he bats, when he bats at six, he averages 51.52. He has scored more runs batting at seven. Five and six between Stokes and Butler. That's pretty useful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And then it's finding perhaps that all-rounder at seven that might be quite, you know, content to bat a little bit lower down but offers something with the ball as well. So it's, lots of options. I completely understand why you've gone with Josh, but personally for this one, like I said, I just want those boys to find a comfortable armchair, put the feet up, just relax, obviously do a bit of running around and this, that and the other. And he'll have time to play some Red Bull cricket at some point, hopefully this summer, maybe in the next couple of weeks. But he can go and do it for Lancashire instead, go and support them rather than with England. That's just, you know, maybe play one game.
Yeah.
But who knows? We'll have to see which way Silverwood goes with that one.
So bowling a bit of tweakers. Bit of spin.
Spin. We're going to spin first. I think Leach has to be in. He's not really ripped anything up so far this summer.
Yeah.
But he has to be in. The control he gives you.
Yeah.
And the night watchman ability. I'd have him in the team. I'd have him on any 11 just for night watchman ability.
Love it. You look at players, you know, how many facets did they bring to the game? Night watchman. Do they bowl? Do they field? And you're like, yeah, he's the best spinner in the country and he's the best night watchman. So he's got to play, mate. He's ticking two boxes.
And he wipes his glass as well. He's got his little towel in his pocket, wipes his glasses, puts them back on. He's ready. Everybody likes a cricketer that wears glasses. Who didn't love Dan Vettori?
Yeah, true story.
Exactly. And I'm also going to put Matt Parkinson in this team. Ball of the new century, Matt Parkinson. leg spinner. He deserves the opportunity. There's an article this week, Wisden, I think it was, talking about not seeing leg spinners as leg spinners, but seeing them as spinners and just giving them an opportunity as a spinner. It's not like an additional thing where, oh, we need an off spinner and we'll take a leg spinner. He's a leg spinner. He's a spinner. Just get him in the team. He deserves the opportunity. There are other people. There's one or two on the bubble. Amar Verdi, he's not bowled enough yet this summer, although he did bowl 44 overs in the last innings of the last game for Surrey. He's there or thereabouts. Jack Carson, another couple of wickets today for Sussex, I believe. Yep. He's another one up and coming, but I'm not sure he's quite ready yet. So Parkinson has to be the next cab off the rank in the spin bowling department. Mason Crane, maybe. He might get a shout. The setup seems to love him. But who knows? We'll start finding out who was the Ed Smith love child and who is the Chris Silverwood love child's children.
So I'll go on Jack Leach as well, mate.
Cool.
Can't see past him. 60 wickets at 29. All conditions over the last 3 years for England. He's take solid. It. And who can forget that little one not out against the Aussies at the Edgbaston Test? Is
finest tough. One not out ever.
I've gone for a little bit of loyalty in my second pick, and I've gone with Don Bess.
And he got six for him, one innings, getting back in.
Yeah, he bowled a long off Sri Lanka and got some wickets.
No,
I don't like the way he was treated.
I agree.
For me, he's gone and bowled a whole bunch of overs. He's not got loads of wickets this year, but when I look at this England team, I go, what happens every single time you play? And it's the issue I've got with selection. I'm making the same thing where you pick a team based on the fact that your one to six are probably going to be five down for 140 on the board. So I've gone with Don Bess. He's averaging 35 with the bat. Now, he's averaging 42 with the ball, but his economy rate this year in county cricket is a 2.38, which to me is a big improvement on where he is. He's bowling in front of Joe Root. So Joe Root's starting to see what sort of fields kind of work for him, what protection he needs, what his bad ball looks like. Is his bad ball halfway down? Yeah, it is, and it's in the stands as well, but you can't field it there. But I feel like he should be around the squad, and I don't feel like he should just be castised for being treated bad, not getting a lot of overs, and then being put on the spot in India when the whole team failed, not just Don Bess.
I think you've made some really good points there, and I would not be surprised at all. When I first was looking at this exercise, I was looking at what I would do and what I think will happen. And Bess was in my what I think will happen. I think he will play. Personally, after the winter, he's starting to find consistency with Yorkshire in County Championship. Sometimes I just think, let them stay. When I finalise my 17 in a moment, whether it's Hamid or Lees, I probably go Lees because I think Hasib Hamid needs to stay and keep scoring runs in county cricket. You know, before a few weeks ago, maybe he wasn't scoring these hundreds. He was nearly getting there, but he hadn't. Then he scored his 200s in two innings, and then he got a duck, and then he got nearly another 100.
Yeah.
Or he did get another 100, whatever it was. Maybe he needs to just have a little bit more time. He could be somebody that's opening the batting for England against India. Mm. But it depends. If you're going to pick him and play him, play him. You know, pick him. But if he's going to just sit in as a reserve and not play either of these two tests, keep him in there. Don Bess is the same. Sorry, long-winded point to say the same thing. Don Bess is the same. I love it. If I can take all the scenic route, I will come back round eventually. Don Bess is the same. Let him keep bowling. Just let him keep bowling for Yorkshire at the moment. And then in my 11s, I would play Leach in one game and I'd play Parkinson in the other game. So they both get an opportunity.
Yep. That's fair enough, mate. On to seamers. There we go. My English accent was coming back then. On to seamers.
What, lad? Stuart Broad, obviously, has to be. Yep. Ed Smith's gone now, so there's no doubts whatsoever. Broad is in this squad. Broad has been bowling exceptionally for Notts. Jimmy Anderson's back fit, so he's in the squad. I'd rather him be with the England setup. Maybe he only plays one game. Maybe Broad and Anderson play one each, and they don't play, obviously, in the same game. Mark Wood, I think he deserves to be there. He's bowling with some wheels, isn't he? He's not been overused up in Durham as well yet, which is good to see. Craig Overton has to be selected.
Yeah.
Has to be. There's no getting around this. He has to be selected. And there's a very, very strong... basically the same. He's done so much. I mean, you can't take 9 wickets in an innings and the 30-odd wickets or whatever, 20-odd wickets that he has, the same as Overton, and not be selected. So definitely those two. And the last seamer I've gone with, he wasn't in the squad until today, is Jofra Archer. You know, hopefully he's proved his fitness today. He took two very, very early wickets. I think it was 2 for 4 or 4 overs in his first spell or something ridiculous. Took Zach Crawley and Daniel Bell Drummond, someone sadly I'm not talking about as being part of an England squad which I used to always bang on about. So sorry about that. I know, glory days. I always thought Daniel Drummond would get there eventually. So Joffre's in there for me, but there's people like Ollie Stones. Again, it would not shock me if Ollie Stones is somehow in this squad instead of somebody else. And also Bryden Carr, Mark Wood's teammate up in Durham as well. He's started to really impress some people with his performances. Big, strong, quick bowler. And he can bat as well. England love a guy that can bat eight, which Overton and potentially even Robinson could do.
Yeah.
So that's my lot.
I'm struggling with this, mate. This is, again, there's points around this England team that's quite hard. And what you've actually got, minus Ben Stokes, is you've got everyone fit and ready to play, which makes it incredibly hard to come away with three or four seamers because you need someone that can bat at eight. And then who are the guys in the squad that might get a go? And what I'm looking at the moment, Rich, is actually a squad of 18. And while I'm talking, I'm going to drop one of them.
Yeah, just while you're having that last consideration, obviously, like I mentioned earlier, I've not put Wokes in this squad.
Okay.
There's Wokes is out there. Sam Curran's out there. There are still players out there. But I just think it would be ridiculous to not use this opportunity to give someone like Overton or Robinson a chance and give them a game. So anyway, sorry, carry on.
Right. So go on, Rob. I've gone with Wokes. Wokes is
that's
in my squad.
Sensible. Yeah.
Excellent cricketer, 475 runs at an average of 26, averages 30 at home, batting at number 7 or number 8 for England. Mm-hmm. Class. Averages 21 with the ball at home. You can't see past it. He's a great cricketer. English conditions, always does the job. And it does feel like he gets better with age. He's kind of grown into an international cricketer now. So he's in. He's not having a risk.
And he's a lock for the India series. That's the point, isn't it? He's an absolute lock to be in the squad for the first test match against India. So there's no doubt in that in my mind. But I'm just looking at this as this is an opportunity for one or two others.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. You're going, opportunity. I want to see what people can do. Me, I'm like, I kind of feel like there can be some rotation because it's a squad of 17, but I do want to give everyone a run out before the Indy series comes around. That's where I'm kind of coming from.
Fair enough.
I had Joffre Archer on the injured pile until 6 a.m. New Zealand time this morning when I saw he's back and fit and bowling. So Joffre Archer is in the squad. I did think about resting him and just giving him a bit more county time, but when you look at it, he's got the most fifers of an England bowler over the last 3 years, five of them. He averages 26 at home, 30 wickets. Saying that, it was against the Aussies as well, which kind of, to me, holds them in a little bit higher regard of the situation. I've gone with Stuart Broad. Obvious reasons, 107 wickets at 22 over the last 3 years. Most out of England players. Jimmy Anderson, you know, marching on towards 650 test wickets. Averaging 83 wickets at 20 at home over the last 3 years, mate. But averages 21 away from home. He's the most skillful bowler that I've ever seen. Most skillful bowler. And a different bowler. Like you could look at a Wasim Akram or a Wacky Yunus and go, they're skillful. They bowl these beautiful in-swing and out-swing Yorkers, stuff like that. Jimmy Anderson is the most skillful bowler I've ever laid eyes on and would have children with.
With Jimmy, it's a long way away, isn't it, from that little, you know, he had the KP type mullet thing going on for a little while, like you had once upon a time, you know, not looking where he was bowling. He was just a raw pace man, wasn't he, when he first made his bow, lost his spot, came back in. Nobody could have envisaged what he would become. I mean, he is probably arguably the best seam bowler ever.
Yeah.
I mean, in these sort of conditions, I can't imagine there's been a better bowler. Like you said, there is nobody more skillful. Putting the ball where he wants it, making it talk consistently. It's just ridiculous, the ability he has. He's a magician.
Yeah, he is, mate. So I've gone with two more seamers in the squad, and I've got three names. So one of them's about
Chris Tremlett.
Chris Tremlett.
Get him in.
Chris Tremlett. Anyway, he can do it. They've got Carl Jameson. We need tall bounce.
That's what I was thinking.
Boyd Rankin. Get them all in.
Oh man. Okay. Right. Sorry, I apologize.
That's okay. So the decision I'm going with here is quite hard and it's quite harsh on
You're procrastinating that much. I'm guessing that it is.
I am. Right.
Go on, just say it. Spit it out.
Because Ollie Stone's missing out.
Why? What's he done wrong?
What's he done wrong?
He's done nothing wrong, to be fair.
What I've basically gone for is if Joffre Archer doesn't play Who is that like-for-like replacement? And I've got Mark Wood and I've got Ollie Stone. Mark Wood's fit. 25 wickets at 24 in the last 3 years.
Yeah,
his problem is staying fit. So I think bringing him in for one test match here and one test match there, and Jofra Archer's issue is staying fit. So one test match here, one test match there, is giving them game time rotation policy. And I've put next to his name, fast. That's it. Come in, bowl fast, do like you did in the West Indies that time, mate. That's your job. Then the last slot, I've got two names that I'm going to talk through now. I've got one is Sam Curran, because I feel this England lineup against the Black Caps desperately needs some variation away from right arm over. And I feel Sam Curran is good enough to do that. 23 wickets at 23 in English conditions, average is 21 with the bat. Useful player, did all right in the IPL. Okay, so he can fit that slot. The other guy is Craig Overton, and that is based on his performance in county cricket. 107 wickets in the last three seasons at an average of 15. He averages near on 30 with the bat. He's
right.
He,
it's useful,
but I'm so struggling. I am gonna go with Craig Overton. And
he has to be in there.
I'm going to negate the option of having a left arm. I really want the option of the left arm, which is what's causing me the problems. But Overton's earned it, deserves it. To me, he's almost a like-for-like replacement with Wokes. It'll be great to see him get more test time, because he took wickets when he was playing test cricket before. So why can't he be given an opportunity before the India series?
They're not all the same bowlers, though. That's the thing. Just because you've got a barrage of right arm over the wicket umpire, they are different types of bowlers. You know, Jimmy Anderson is a different bowler to Broad. Wood is a different bowler to Robinson. Robinson is a different bowler to Archer. You've got variations there, haven't you? So, you know, it is what it is. So, isn't it great? Sorry, just quickly, isn't it great that we're having such a difficult conversation of which seamers we would get into an expanded squad? In years gone by, it would have been like three or four players and then struggling. Yes. We're not even talking about the likes of Saqib Mahmood. Like I say, Brydon Carst just got an in passing mention. There are players. Yeah, Ryan Higgins, arguably one of the best all-rounders over the last few years in county cricket, not getting a mention anywhere near this squad. We've got depth at the moment, and I don't think we quite realise how much depth we actually do have.
Yeah.
It's a great sign.
It is a great sign. The other thing I think we need to be careful of when it comes to the team this summer is, whoever plays this summer needs to be the ones that you really want to go and play in Australia, because you don't want them coming into test cricket cold. So that's why I feel giving Overton a go, because I think Sam Curran will tour of Australia anyway, and he'll play against India. So give Overton the game time now to see if you want to have him part of that conversation down the road. Archer, Wokes, Broad, Anderson, they're all shoo-ins for what's going on. I'd like to see Ollie Stone play more test cricket. I would. At some point during the summer, I want to see him play a little bit more and see what he's got.
Happy? I'm feeling good about these squads?
I think I've got a good squad. I feel a little bit disappointed in myself that I'm trying to pick a team to win straight away and maybe not giving an opportunity given the India series is coming up. But to me, when I look at the New Zealand team, the New Zealand team is exceptional. One thing they do well, everyone understands the role that they need to do on the pitch for 5 days, and that's how generally they win test cricket. They beat India 3-0 in New Zealand conditions. That is no fluke. That is a world-class operation, a decent batting lineup without having too many superstars, and a bowling attack that is incredibly underrated and is one of the most prolific all-time in terms of wickets as a trio. Bolt, Wagner, Southie, and then you've thrown 6'12" Carl Jameson in there, taking 30 wickets at 10.
100%. I think underrated is one of the biggest words you can use with New Zealand, and we will talk about them more. So when this squad finally gets announced, the official squad, not the one we've done and faxed over to Chris Silverwood, because we definitely use faxes in this office, then we'll get back into it. We'll jump in and we'll look at that squad. We'll have a chat about that. And we'll also talk about the New Zealand squad. We've already talked about it at one point, but we'll talk about it in a bit more depth and a bit more, you know, a bit more context and shape to some of those players and names as well. They are massively underrated. I think I'm giving them respect, but I'm seeing this more as what can England do? It's a long, long year. It's been a long year before this. We've had bubbles, we've had restrictions, we've had a lot of stress. That's why I'm wanting players to just go and take some time and just get away from the test arena. go and play some easier cricket if they need to. And I'm thinking about India and I'm thinking about Australia. You know, I want those workloads to be, you know, restricted a little bit, let's say. So, I, you know, when we get into this 11 in a minute, I'm basically saying, look, I've got an 11 that I think could be the first 11 with a bit of room for manoeuvre. But the bowlers, pretty much two different bowling attacks for the two test matches. Maybe one player will play both games, one of the seamers. But I would like to see basically eight bowlers used in those four bowling spots. So I'm seeing it in that way. And I hope, I think it's the right thing. I hope that that's what the selectors do as well. Give people a chance. It's not disrespecting New Zealand. I think it's just using what's in front of you to look ahead to, like I say, to India and Australia.
Yeah, it's good, mate. So let's break down our starting 11 to wrap it up.
Okay.
For the first test match, who have you gone? England have won the toss, having a bat. Who's striding to the crease?
Well, first off, just late squad news. Hasif Hamid was omitted from the final 17 party. So he's staying with Nottinghamshire. It'll do Notts better anyway. So he'll appreciate that. He'll score a load more runs and he'll be opening the bat in for the first test against India. Predictions. Right. So for this test, Rory Burns retains his place, but he is under pressure. And this is one player that has to score runs in this two test match series. Otherwise, there are big questions for India. So Rory Burns, and he's opening with Zach Crawley.
Nice. So I've gone Dom Sibley. Mm-hmm. However, I did slate his Wisden Cricketer of the Year thing a little while ago. But one thing about Dom, he's played six tests at home, averages 36, scored his 100 at home. So I feel he's done enough in English conditions to go, let's see what you've got. Give him a couple of test matches. Is he our guy for India? Is he our guy for Australia? Mm-hmm. Alongside him, I feel the England party or the England team have started to pull the pin on Rory Burns based on dropping him in the subcontinent from starting team. So I've gone Hassan Azad making debut.
Nice.
Against a good bowling attack again. We're going to go and see what he's like. Is he any good?
I like it. I like that a lot. Dom Sibley, just for what it's worth, if Dom Sibley had been fit and was playing cricket and had scored roughly the same amount of runs as Rory Burns this summer so far, I would have had Sibley in ahead of Burns. But because Sibley has played basically one game of cricket, scored 29 runs in two innings, and then he's broke his finger and not played since, I just can't see it. He is supposed to be playing potentially part of a second team game for Warwick that starts on the 17th, which is a few days away from now. But he will not have played another game of cricket until this squad has been selected. So I just don't see how England can select Sibley at the moment.
It's tough.
If he plays that game on the 20th, which I think is Essex... Okay. At Essex, if he plays that game and shows that he's fit, then perhaps he's a late call-up to the squad. But as it stands at the minute, I just don't see how he can be selected when he's played so little cricket and he hasn't particularly performed well over the last... Well, I say that, he's Wisden Cricketer of the Year, but then like we said before, it's just, you know, find five people that have played cricket this year. Sorry.
Who's your number three? And I take it we're not having a Joe Root conversation these days anymore. We've just all accepted he's four.
No. I'm going to just jump ahead. I'm going to say Root is four and Ollie Pope is five. And I'd like to think you've pretty much got the same, yeah?
I've got exactly the same.
Okay, perfect. So I've got Burns, Crawley 1-2, and I've got Root, Pope 4-5. Now, the reason I've just jumped there is because number three and six is where I really am struggling.
Yeah.
I think I'd be interested to see Dan Lawrence at three. Bats four for Essex.
Yep.
He's a young player and we can start locking in potentially it's like a Crawley and a Lawrence in those spots. We need to look ahead with these younger guys. If I do that, I then put Matt Critchley at six in the first test because I'm also going to play Jack Leach as my spinner. So Critchley also gives me leg spin option whilst I've got Leach bowling off spin.
Okay.
So I've got my all-rounder in there to balance out at six with folks. I'm getting ahead here, but this I need to explain the context for it. However, if we say Critchley isn't in the team, then I would put Bracey in at three and Lawrence at six.
Okay, so it's a standard English 2nd of June wicket.
On performances so far this season, and considering how many spinners have been bowling ridiculous amounts of overs and taking tons and tons of wickets, I would love to see Critchley get a game.
Okay.
Player of the month for April. He should be, if everything is even, he should be playing for England in this first test match. And I'd bat him at six, and he's an option. He's my second spinner behind Leach. It'd be really weird if we played Critchley and Parkinson in the same team, but I'd love to see that. Two leggies going at it. But I would like to see Lawrence at three and Critchley at six. That's my two. But I think Bracey will play and he'll play at three and Lawrence will play at six. So I would go Lawrence and Critchley.
You're going Lawrence and Critchley. So I've not picked Lawrence in the starting lineup. And that's purely because I haven't seen enough of him to go, he fills my void at number three. I've not seen enough of him play to see that he's got the temperament to be a three. From what I've seen, I've seen a bit more laid back, likes to get after it, and maybe a little bit down the order. So I've gone...
It's a big question mark, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why I've gone Zach Crawley at three and put Hassan Hazard in at opener.
Yeah,
Crawley, 417 runs at 69 in four tests at home, including his 267, which was batting at number three. So I want to see him go at number three and give him a shot. Number six, I've gone Joss Butler, but I've got a different starting lineup to you. I've moved Joss up one, to number six for reasons I've spoken about earlier about his stats
as your keeper,
as my keeper.
Yep,
and I've actually got a fair bit of bowling going on here. But I've gone with Chris Wokes at seven
in
the all-rounder role. And
I see. Okay.
So I've given ourselves, I see the pitch, English conditions. I'm going to go one spinner. I'm going with, what am I going with? One, two, three, four seamers. And it comes down to I don't have Ben Stokes. And I don't want to, if it is a really good condition wicket and it's pretty flat, I don't want to have Anderson and Broad bowling 30, 40 overs in a game where they score 450. So I've tried to, maybe a little bit negative here, but try to come up with a solution to a potential problem.
I like your thinking with that. I think it's very, very sensible. I've just gone with as we'll see in a minute, I've gone with a one spinner and three seamers. However, if Critchley does play and we're thinking it's not the best spinning track in the world, and spin might not play the biggest part, then one of these two test matches, you could play Critchley as your spinner with Joe Root. Dan Lawrence can also offer a few overs with the ball. He bowls for Essex a fair bit. So there's those options. And then you've got your four-man seam attack. So that's where maybe the balance would change for me.
Yeah.
If it's going to take spin, I would bring in a spinner and the three-man seam attack. And then I would have a second spinner as well. But I'm seeing Critchley in the team predominantly because he's a batsman. So for me, the seven would be Folks, I need my keeper. You've gone Butler at six. I totally understand the reason and rationale behind that, but I would give Ben Folks the opportunity and I would bat him at seven. And I think that gives us plenty of batting. And I've explained what I'm thinking about the bowling as well. So that's me up to seven.
Okay. Then eight. And I don't think he's a test match number eight. In fact, I'm just going to reel off my eight, nine, and 10 and 11 now. So I've got
go for it.
Broad, Archer, Leach, Anderson, Seamers.
First test, you've gone full, boom, strong team. I like that. I'm going to change one up a little bit. I'm going to go Overton at eight because I think he deserves the opportunity. And the reasoning for this is because I'm going to split the games between Broad and Anderson. I'm not having them playing in the same test match. Broad gets the first game. Archer, if fit, gets the first game. If not, it doesn't really matter. Archer or Wood will bat at nine. So I've got Overton. Do you know what? I'm going to go Wood. Archer, Overton, Wood. Broad, Leach plays in the first test.
Yeah.
That gives me Leach and Critchley as my spinners. And then in the second test, bonus content, it's going to be Ollie Robinson at eight, Joffre at nine, Jimmy Anderson and Matt Parkinson.
Okay. I like it. So you're buying into county cricket performances matter and giving guys opportunity when opportunity arises.
It has to matter. It has to, the performances that they put in, it has to matter. It surely does. And that's, we cannot see performances like Overton and Robinson. It's exceptional. It is high level performances, what they're doing at the moment. They're taking the wickets. It's not just chipping away with two and three in innings. They're ripping sides apart. The number of fivers they've both got, they deserve the opportunity. And Robinson can bat a bit as well.
Yeah,
he might not be the strongest. I think Overton at eight, I'm comfortable with that. Robinson, I'd probably want him at nine.
Yes,
and especially if you had a team of Robinson, Archer, Anderson, Parkinson, that worries me. That 9, 10, 11 worries me. Jofra, I was sold that he was a good batsman before he came into Test match cricket. But if it's not a white ball and he's playing IPL, he can't seem to bat.
Same. I fell into the same problem with Jofra Archer. And I think it's because there was footage of him smashing 100 at second team level. I was like, wow, this I'll take boy. Some of that down the order. No,
the new Botham again.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know what? I'd rather have him bowling 95 mile an hour. Yeah,
100%.
And chipping him with a 20 down the order and concentrating and bowling 85 mile an hour. So no, I think they're pretty reasonable squads, mate. Nicely done, mate. So I reckon that's a pin in us for today, guys. So if you guys
love that,
let us know what you think of our squads and who you would kind of piece into your squads going forward. It's always open to contention what the team is actually going to look like and what selection policies you want to put in place and what you're trying to achieve out of the games. Can't wait. So thank Bring you so on. Much for listening, guys. Hope you've enjoyed it. Comments down below. Leave a big like. Subscribe if you're brand new around here. See you next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.